I'm Madeline Brand, and this is Day to Day. Victims of sexual abuse by a priest were set to make their case in court in Portland, Oregon today, but the Archdiocese of Portland declared bankruptcy this week, the first archdiocese in the country to do so. Now the trials involving the two men who say they were sexually abused as boys by the late Reverend Maurice Grimond have been delayed. Oregon Public Broadcasting's Colin Fogarty reports.
When Portland Archbishop John Vlasidy announced the church in Western Oregon is bankrupt, he sounded more like a nervous debtor seeking credit counseling than the leader of 350,000 Catholics.
I was trying to borrow money. I have, as you can imagine, it's not been easy for me to borrow money given the situation in which we find ourselves. People didn't want to give us loan guarantees. Our credit is not as fine as it was 4 years ago.
In the past, the Archdiocese turned to its insurance companies to help pay settlements. So far, $53 million in all. The church used the same policies that cover unexpected occurrences, like accidental falls, to cover these lawsuits. But now several insurance firms are disputing those claims and refusing to pay. The diocese says that's not a problem unique to Portland, but that their diocese faces some of the highest court judgments in the nation. Vlasidy said the church had no safety net, as it faced two trials that could conceivably cost $155 million.
We've kind of emptied the pot. I had obviously more assets available to me. What made it very difficult was the fact the insurers abandoned us. They made a business decision. Maybe this will help them get back to the table in bankruptcy court.
Those insurance firms, including Lloyd's of London, have sued the Archdiocese of Portland, arguing, among other things, that if church officials knew of the abuse and did little to stop it, they're not liable. Candace Miller, an analyst with the insurance industry, says she isn't surprised the church is having trouble finding an insurer.
Any group, whether it's a business, an individual, or even a church, that creates a higher cost, whether it be through lawsuits or through claims for an insurance company, is going to be perceived as being a risky client.
But attorneys representing victims of sexual abuse are skeptical, insurance problems aside, that the church has emptied its pot, as Archbishop Vlasidy has said. Attorney David Slater called the Archdiocese one of the wealthiest corporations in Oregon.
The bishop hasn't begun to touch his pot. He is lying.
That will be up to a bankruptcy judge to determine. Most of the church's assets are tied up in two areas, parish property and charitable trust funds. Vlasidy says by church law, the archbishop can't spend money owned by local parishes. But Portland attorney Kelly Clark, who has represented about 50 victims of sexual abuse, says the bankruptcy judge will test some of the church's claims. Clark adds that the bankruptcy filing is a new strategy for the church, one that sends a message about prayers. He's not talking about church prayers. Instead, that's a legal term for requests for punitive damages. Clark says the bankruptcy filing creates a chilling effect that big claims could be the tipping point for church officials.
If the punitive damages prayer was so great, and, don't miss this, the underlying facts so egregious and so ugly that the diocese concluded that it really might get hit for $100 or $125 million in punitive damages, such that it felt like it had no choice but to file bankruptcy, then I suppose you could make the argument that the prayer was too high.
Attorneys on both sides of the case agree that as the case moves from an Oregon civil court to a federal bankruptcy judge, the Archdiocese of Portland will break new legal ground on priest sexual abuse cases nationwide. For Day to Day, I'm Colin Fogarty in Portland, Oregon.